City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, November 6th, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm here, it's Mandan edition, so Jim Neubauer, as always, is here.
Good morning, Mary. Glad to be here.
All right. Thanks for being here. And also today we have Ellen Huber joining us.
Hi, Mary. Glad to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming. Ellen is the Business Development and Communications Director for the City of Bismarck. You've been here before, but it's been a while, so.
That's right. City of Mandan, though. Mandan today.
Yes. Did I say Bismarck?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
We'll forgive
That's
you.
Early. It's early in the day, so thank you very much, yes, for correcting me. Yes, it is Mandan edition. And as always, at City Current, we're here to talk about what happened at the commission meeting last night. It was a pretty big agenda, a lot of things going on.
A few things going on last night. Started out with our, for those folks who may have noticed, there were a few commissioners missing last night. Mayor Helbling and Commissioner Larson were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Vice President Rohr stepped in to fill in and run the meeting along with Commissioner Davis and Commissioner Brown.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Start out with employee recognition awards.
Yeah, which, an early start to the meeting. Not very typical to start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but there were a lot of things to talk about. So
right, we like to start at four so the employees can, while they're working, be there and share their accomplishments and things like that. So we do 5, 10-year, 15, 20, 25, 30, and we had a 35-year award winner last night. And
yeah.
Commissioner Rohr did a nice job of saying, you know, we appreciate all the work that people have done, and it is really rare to find folks that are staying with a company for 30 years,
yeah,
for 35 years and 25 years. So we want to recognize those folks and show our appreciation.
And you do this every year. And it's
every
when
year.
They hit those milestones. So
correct.
Those are that are so, hitting the 5 and 10 year yep. marks. That's who you talk to.
During the year of 2018 or 2019 we're in now, that if you've reached that milestone, then you'll get a plaque and you'll get some Mandan bucks. And like I said, just a small way to say thank you very much for what you do. We appreciate it. And I think Commissioner Dan Ulmer many years ago called it fairy work, where no one really knows who cleans the streets and sweeps the
you
know, sidewalks and does things like that. But the work needs to get done.
Yeah, they rarely appear at the commission meetings, that's for sure. And the and the award that they get gives them a opportunity to go. And I'm very clever of you to use Mandan bucks to to give the award so they can use it in the community and go out to dinner or lunch
we
or
hope they,
buy some stuff.
We hope they do something special out of the ordinary with that. And like I said, a lot of people are appreciative of that.
Yeah.
And like I said, we can't say thank you enough to our employees. They do a really good job for us and hope the citizens appreciate them too.
That's great. And then you went right into your meeting last night. One of the items on the agenda last night was a public hearing, although that did get pushed to a specific time because it was advertised for a specific time. But this is an item that we've seen tabled in the past. So it came back to the commission last night, and this is a rezoning from a residential property to an industrial property.
Right. It it came up about a month ago, and there were certain concerns among the residents that live in it's really outside of the city limits. It's west of Mandan, out on kind of Highway 10 or Sunny Road, I believe. And so it's within our extraterritorial jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So the city has zoning authority in this area. Property owner wanted to convert some land from residential to, like you said, industrial.
Mm-hmm.
The resident showed up and they said, you know, we're not too crazy about this idea.
Yeah.
And the commission, the city commission a month ago said, hey, can we get the property owners and the applicant together? Is there a compromise to be had where everyone walks away, you know, compromises someone, no one walks away happy, but everybody gets something.
Yeah.
And in this case, a compromise was not achievable. And therefore, it came back to the city commission last night for their decision.
Well, Lloyd is flashing some photos on the screen right now that are present on the property now that's over there. And the individual that has this property runs a business here. And this is a salvage or a
kind
repair
business?
Kind of
a repair business.
Okay.
And one of the concerns that the local residents had was the amount of traffic that would be coming, truck traffic through a private road on a gravel road, increased noise, and they didn't want to see the kind of the sprawl of what's there currently, where they may not be happy with the conditions that are there right now. That's just going to get larger. And so, like I said, commission, gave them a chance to compromise on something that couldn't work out, commission's decision, and they voted to deny the zoning request.
Well, and in addition to that, the staff recommendation was to deny as well because
Correct.
Compatibility between residential and industrial, you just typically do not want them butting up to each other.
In the zoning world, you like to have residential to a little less residential, for lack of a better term, and there's a buffer
transition
between that.
Those.
Yeah.
Residential to light commercial before you get to
Correct.
More intense uses like the heavier industrial.
That's the ideal,
right?
Yeah. So it would have been kind of unusual to see this move through, but again,
Correct.
With the testimony of the residents,
yep.
really was felt by the commission, obviously, because it was unanimous to deny.
Unanimous at the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial.
As well,
yes. Unanimous last night with the City Commission.
Yep.
So both boards said, we don't think this is the best way to go forward.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Moving into the consent agenda items, and these were not... this was not pulled for discussion, but we wanted to just mention it because it's made the news lately, too. And this is a new operation that's going into what was formerly Captain Freddy's and also called Rock Point. Now under new management and a new group moving in and doing some substantial improvements to the building. So that's nice. And Ellen, you've been working on this quite a bit with this group.
Right.
There were two items on the agenda last night that came before the commission. One was a flex support buy down for interest rates and then also some exemptions on improvements.
Right. So I first met with this group. So a brand new owners operators, they have leased the property from the White family for operations of a new family oriented restaurant. And then it'll have a bar component. They're also looking to hold some events. Mm-hmm. And so are naming it the Paddle Trap. And as in terms of the operating entity, it's River Partners Incorporated. And so we were able to provide, through the City Commission approval last evening, two forms of support. They're planning to invest about $500,000 into a building remodel, kitchen expansion, and equipment. And so toward that, they are taking out a loan upwards of $200,000. And through the North Dakota Opportunity Fund, there's a provision there to provide the local share that's required for an interest buy down. So through the Bank of North Dakota's Flex Pace program, it requires a 35% local match. And the commission voted to provide a letter of support for the North Dakota Opportunity Fund Loan Committee to consider that match. I think that's on their agenda for Thursday, actually. And
It's got to go through a few more steps.
It does.
And I think we have, Lloyd, if we would, some floor plans of some of their ideas for improvement at this point in time. It shows on the screen right now that we've got the second floor is going to go through some major remodeling and is a deck added to the second level as well?
There's plans for a second story deck as well.
Nice.
And so the other piece then that the commission voted on that was under new business last evening was a commercial remodeling exemption. And so what that's for is when you have an existing building and they're doing either remodeling or an addition to it, they can apply for an exemption on just the improved value. So the base value of the building will remain taxed, and then the improved value as approved will receive an exemption will receive an exemption for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And by policy, the City of Mandan limits that to 3 years. It is allowed up to 5 years by state statute.
Well, it's nice to see that there's interest in the property because it's a very unique property. The location is certainly unique. There's not a lot of operations like this right on the main channel of the river. And I've been there before via boat, and I know a lot of people like that opportunity. So it'll be great to see these improvements and more of a family focus on the operation as well.
Right.
We're,
I think, very much looking forward to the property improvements. You know, it was a property that did receive some damage from the flood in 2011. And so I think has never been, quite back to its original state. It's a relatively new building, but is in need of some additional TLC. And so the group of new owners have some experience elsewhere within the metro area with restaurant and event operations and look to bring some of those similar concepts to what will be known as the paddle trap.
All right. That'll be great. They've got the credibility to move it forward as well. Do you expect this will happen in the spring, that they should be open and ready to go, or what is the timeline?
Well, they're aiming to begin the remodeling as soon as they have all of the approvals in place for the loan that they're seeking and the interest buy down. And then I think are shooting for an April opening, if at all possible.
Nice. All right. We'll look forward to that. Maybe we'll have some pictures when they get it all done.
Absolutely.
That'll be great. Thank you, Ellen. Under new business last night, there were a couple of items under the downtown street improvement project that's coming forward. One of them was kind of a formality of signing paperwork,
right,
if you would, support to the North Dakota DOT that's required. And then the other part was approving the RFP to get out some design work.
Two pieces last night. The City of Mandan had applied for a grant through the North Dakota Department of Transportation and the Governor's kind of Main Street Initiative program. The total project we're looking at is estimated to be about $5.2 million. We received in grant money, or will receive, $2.4 million, which is awesome.
Yes.
And it is the second largest award in the Governor's program that any city in North Dakota has received. And what we'll do is we'll start reconstructing the avenues on the north-south pieces in our downtown area that are in need of water, sewer, street, sidewalks, and all those types of things.
Mm-hmm. So. And this is, I think we have a map that we can put up. It's not a huge area. We're talking about, seven blocks, one direction.
Mainly between Collins Avenue
and
going all the way east or west to 6th Avenue. And in turn, like I said, the avenues, some of those avenues have been reconstructed when we did the remediation project. And so some have been done, and the rest we're looking at improving between Main Street and 2nd Street Northwest.
So the older area of downtown as well that needs some TLC.
A lot of TLC in this area. We, back probably, I think, 1995 or something like that, the 1st Street was redone, but they did part of that in concrete at the intersections in this part, and part of it was done in asphalt. We've seen some breakups in that asphalt in both east-west and north-south portions of this area.
So is it your intention to replace that asphalt with concrete then at that time?
We will see how that goes.
See how the bids come in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, part of what last night's action, again, was to tell the North Dakota Department of Transportation, yes, we are going to move forward with this project. And the second piece was we need to get an engineering firm on board. Again, water, sewer, sidewalks, streets, and hopefully we'll have some streetscaping in there to add to the amenities in the downtown area.
And this project is slated for, this specific project would be 2021?
We're looking at 2021 or 2022. It all kind of depends on the amount of work that needs to be done.
Okay.
We want to make sure we've got the four-lane to three-lane conversion scheduled for the spring and summer of 2020 next year. We want to make sure we're not cramming a whole bunch of projects into one area over 2 or 3 year time period. So we want to give folks a break.
Sure.
Can we do the Main Street conversion from 4 to 3, which goes from Collins Avenue West, and then we can come in with this project maybe a year or two later
and
reconstruct.
The public can stay tuned for in 2020, though, will be opportunities for informational and input meetings on this downtown avenue project. So everything is set, and I think just waiting for bids to come in on the lane reallocation and streetscape project for the west end of Main Street for next year. But this downtown avenue and First Street project, that will start a whole new role of public information and public input meetings in 2020.
Yeah.
There'll be an engineering consulting firm brought on board, and once they have that input, they'll go to a design and bid phase from there, and then that implementation beyond that.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and we have talked about that at previous City Current segments about all the change coming downtown. It's pretty exciting. Really fun.
Absolutely. I think we're going to see a significant transformation when you take into account all of the private investment that's occurred in Renaissance Zone and storefront improvement projects. More than $20 million in investment in Renaissance Zone projects alone, 44 storefront improvement projects in the greater downtown area. You couple that with the library and Dykeshoren and Heritage Park enhancements that will occur in part with the funding from Energy Transfer, and then add on to this these improvements to the streets and sidewalks, and I think we're going to just see a whole nother wave of transformation in that area.
That's great. And Mandan has found its niche many years ago with doing some great events, special events and festivals in the downtown area, and I think that these improvements will just provide a better palette, if you will, a place for all of these things to happen. So
we believe it will greatly improve the experience of, you know, getting out of your car and walking from point A,
Absolutely.
B, and C, and have found that these types of improvements in other communities have been very important to improving traffic to businesses and just making the whole area more vibrant.
Yeah, that'll be great. Fun to see.
Last week, Ellen and I and several others of our Mandan team were at the Governor's Main Street Initiative Conference for 3 days, and the point was driven home very much how important your main streets are to your communities.
And how there people the feel when they're down there.
You need to take care of them. And our downtown, we need a little bit of TLC.
Yeah.
And we're making efforts to do that.
Well, it's how you feel when you go into any kind of a, you know, anybody's home or a place of business is how comfortable is it? Do you want to come back? And that makes a difference. And it's a lot more... shall we say fun to talk about the aesthetic
right.
stuff rather than a sewer main?
Sewer you know? Line and the water
safety
line.
Is paramount, yeah. you know,
Absolutely.
Even beyond aesthetics, and that's what so much of this is about: is making it safer for pedestrians
sure.
and
lighting,
to
parking,
you know,
all of those things. Yeah,
to be
Absolutely.
In the area.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that because we know it's coming up.
Absolutely.
Next summer, yeah, there'll be, as you say too, and the people should be aware, there'll be a lot of opportunities for public input. So there'll
right.
be designs proposed, and it'll be their opportunity to share their voice.
And we'll make sure that Dakota Media Access has all of that information to share with viewers and listeners, but as well they can stay tuned to cityofmandan.com and our social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, and we'll just be trying to get the word out as much as possible.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for bringing that up. So... the last thing we wanted to talk about was something that was added to the agenda last night, kind of an add-on.
Yes.
And that is Greg Welch, your finance director, did a little walkthrough of the new utility billing process. He gave a very thorough, as Greg always does,
Greg does a very thorough job, yes.
Thorough job of how to go through this. But I think that one thing we wanted to say, too, is that it is on your website, cityofmandan.com. You can go in that upper area of the
upper right-hand upper corner. Right-hand you will corner. Find a little water faucet that says pay your utility bill. And if you click on that, that'll take you. We need a couple things from you. We will need to update your account number. We would like you to sign up for SmartHub, which will allow you to receive your bill electronically, pay electronically. We know that we've got a lot of residents and customers that are asking us, how can we more efficiently do this? We've been able to pay electronically for many years now, but how do we more efficiently get your bill to you where we're not mailing and printing, and we're trying to save on that cost. So we've been working on this for about a year now. We went through a blackout, what we call a blackout, for I think October 31st, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We had our folks and NISC folks were in on Sunday and completing the conversion this week. And like I said, what we will need is you will get a hard copy bill in the mail in November. And we'd ask it that you look at that. Your new account number will be on that bill. We'll have to get your new information uploaded into our system if you want to do electronic payments.
And there'll be directions on that
step
bill
by step,
how to do this, right?
Step-by-step instructions to do it electronically. But also for those of you who don't want to do that, you can continue to receive a bill in the mail, and you can pay it. You can stop by in City Hall or however you want to do that. You can still mail your snail mail your bill in and with your payment, or you can pay it electronically. But we're hoping a lot of people go to the electronic payment. I think we've had roughly 7,400 accounts. We have 3,400. Roughly half of those have been paying electronically up till this date, and we hope to increase that number.
Yeah.
That now we can even stop mailing you a bill. You'll be able to look at your usage online and
yeah,
a lot of
I think
other
that's
things,
a nice so. Feature. It's not just the ability to get your bill, but you can also see your usage and monitor the usage of your utilities.
When we converted to kind of a new reading system a few years ago, we were getting hourly reads. So when someone says, "Well, my water bill is so high, I can't understand what's going on," we may be able to call you and say, "Okay, what are you doing from midnight until 6 a.m? Well, we're sleeping. Well, there's a lot of water going through your meter at that point in time, so there may be a leak in your toilet or your faucet or something like that, which has been very helpful for folks.
Yeah, Yeah, obviously, you know, red flag goes up.
If people want to check out, we have a frequently asked questions section and a lot more information. If they go to cityofmandan.com/utility billing, they can find a lot of that information right now. And again, it's on all of those social media platforms. One of the questions we've received is, if I go with e-billing, how do I get my Mandan Messenger newsletter that the city issues? When they get that e-bill, there will be an icon they can click on and go right to that online, as they can right now, by just going to cityofmandan.com/news.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I'm glad he added that last night into the evening and gave that a lot of information there. But again, upper right-hand corner, cityofmandan.com, and it'll get you there as well. So.
Strategically placed water faucet, so you should know how to. You'll recognize it when you get there.
Absolutely. So we wanted to talk about the business pitch challenge with Ellen, because that's coming up pretty soon.
Yes, we're excited about it.
It started a while ago, and now you're down to finalists. But explain the process and why you're doing this. I think that would be interesting first.
You bet. This is our second annual business pitch challenge, and so it's kind of like a mini Shark Tank. We have, you know, we're always working to foster entrepreneurism. For 7 years now, we've run a Business Startup 101 workshop, and this gives people who are looking to open businesses, as well as those in the early phases, that chance to wrap it up and take it to the next level. And so October 1st was the deadline, and we do have it narrowed to 4 finalists, and they'll present on Tuesday evening at the Baymont Inn, beginning at 5:30 p.m., and the event is free and open to the public, so we would welcome as many people as possible to come and cheer for and support these entrepreneurs.
And that's Tuesday, November 12th.
Tuesday, November 12th at the Baymont Inn. We do encourage signups in advance at cityofmandan.com/register, just to make sure we're set up to accommodate folks. We are also going to have some snacks and beverages available at when the doors open at 5 o'clock. And then there's a networking social after the conclusion of the awards at 8:15, too. And it's an opportunity to, you know, meet with these entrepreneurs, maybe to, you know, for somebody else looking to get started in business, to learn some of the steps that they've gone through and what the experience was like for them. But also, if there's somebody looking to invest in a business, or maybe they have a property that's available for sale or for lease, you know, there's all kinds of matchmaking that can occur there. And then the other piece that I would share is we're going to have Chappie Windsor of Dakota Chappie be our keynote speaker while we're tabulating those scores from the five judges. And I think she'll have inspiration for prospective entrepreneurs as well as existing business people. She's very online savvy and has invented and sold a
retail stores in two different locations that I'm aware of.
Yes, right.
Very
as well as virtual stores too. And so I think can share a lot of trials and tribulations and advice for people, you know, already in business as well as those looking to get started in business.
So you have four finalists who will make their pitch that night. You've already got their materials, and
yes,
that's how you whittled it down to these four. So there'll be judges there that evening that will be listening to them, and then they will make a decision that night?
Yes, it's a five-person panel of judges, and so they've been reviewing their applications and executive summaries of their business plans, and then the contestants will make a 5 to 7 minute presentation and then participate in a 10-minute question and answer session. Only the judges get to ask the questions, but we all sitting in get to listen to those, and then they score them on a variety of aspects, from the soundness of their plan and the viability to go forward, the impact to Mandan, and are just some of the factors that will be considered. And then we have a team that will tabulate scores and make the announcement that evening, and there's just a really wonderful prize package for the winner,
yeah,
as well as some really,
Ellen,
great
what
prizes.
Comes out?
So the grand prize is for if they have a business that's open by December 31st of 2020, they would receive a $10,000 forgivable loan from the Mandan Growth Fund. And when we talk about a forgivable loan, what that means is they don't have to repay it as long as they stay in operations in Mandan and don't move their business to another community. It's okay to open a second location, but it's not okay to take funding from a community and then pick up and leave and go elsewhere. But otherwise, it's, you know, that $10,000 is forgivable. We have a number of very generous financial institutions in the area that are contributing cash prizes, accounting firms that are providing startup consultation, and just all kinds of services in the first year.
Nice.
A legal firm, again, providing assistance, and then lots of advertising and publicity materials also being provided by generous donors.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's very generous. I think we should mention, too, that, again, you said it's a second annual event. And last year's event, even though there was obviously a winner, but there were three other businesses proposed that many of them have already started. It doesn't mean they're not going to move forward.
Right. You don't have to be the winner to move forward in business. And in fact, many of our applicants who weren't even finalists have gone forward and have since opened businesses or announced their opening. So we think that the process is beneficial for anyone. And I think you don't have to be a contestant to come and learn from it. I think it will be beneficial to anyone that has even just the inkling of thinking that they might want to open a business someday to see some of the factors that they should be considering and planning for. And it's interesting to see the variety of businesses that have applied. And so I think we really see that reflected in our finalists. We have Cole Country Coffee, which is in its early stages. So they can't have been in business any more than 2 years nor raised more than $250,000 to date. And so Cole Country, you'll see some of their coffee at some of our area coffee shops. They grind their own, and they're looking to take that business to the next level. We also have Invited Rentals, which is a concept of providing furnishings and equipment for weddings and other events. And then Latidot Scoop, it would be a gift shop and ice cream shop proposed for downtown Mandan. And then fourth one is called Third Day Farm, and their plan is to grow and provide cut flowers to area florists as well as at farmers markets.
Oh, nice. Yes, quite a variety. In fact, the winner last year was a primary sector business, wasn't it?
It was. So that one is Nordic Steel Building Systems, and they have a concrete-free foundation system as well as a wall system that particularly is being marketed to residential developers. And so they had a developer in Reno build a couple homes with their materials, and so they've been able to video that and now use it to market. And I think they've now gotten some local business out of the deal as well, and so are looking to scale up.
Nice. Oh, well, that's exciting. Well, we'll be watching on November 12th. Or people can come. It's free to the public to attend up at the Baymont.
Yes.
But you would like people to register.
We just want to make sure we have enough, snacks and appetizers for everyone. And those are being made available. Again, we have about 23 generous financial institutions, real estate agencies, accounting firms, and the like that make our whole business education and outreach series possible every year. And so those refreshments are courtesy of those sponsors.
What time is it starting that?
The doors open to the public at 5 o'clock, and the competition will start at 5:30 sharp, and then by about 7:15, 7:30 we should be done with the competition and have our keynote speaker on the stage, and we would expect to announce the results by about 8 or 8:15 p.m. and then have a little bit of a networking social to follow, and we can get folks home and off to bed by 9 o'clock.
It sounds like a big project. You've been busy, and this is one of the bigger projects of
the
year.
I'd like to echo what Ellen said. These events wouldn't happen without our sponsors. And also to thank Ellen and Carrie Moore, our program coordinator, that the work that they put into these events, it's not something that happens overnight. Mm-hmm. It's not something that happens in 1 or 2 days. This takes a lot of time and coordination. The team that they work with are so good. And again, our sponsors for these events are very generous in their time and also their wisdom to help us pull these off. So again, we just want to say thank you, and we encourage all it's open, it's free to the public. Come on in, have a soda, have a cookie, and watch, because it is very entertaining and you'll learn something.
And speaking of wisdom, I would say another very critical partner has been the Center for Technology and Business. All of the finalists received coaching to help fine-tune their applications and executive summaries at the Idea Center. So once they had that feedback back from the selection committee, they received that, as did the Idea Center coaches at the Center for Technology and Business, and then they provided input on how to strengthen and address any holes. And so that coaching process, I think, is very valuable. And then another very important partner in all of this has been the Bismarck-Mandan Chamber EDC.
Yeah, there's a lot of partners and a lot of people, a lot of talent in the area that you've been able to round up to make this a success.
Yes, so very much
luck.
So. Thank you.
We'll be watching the results. So you wanted to mention one more thing that's coming up, and you have a big community-wide survey that you're doing, or citywide.
Right. About every 2 to 3 years, we put out a survey that asks for views and ideas for improvement on our community from residents as well as from people who live elsewhere. And so it gives them an opportunity to share input on where they think Mandan is at and where they would like the community to be going. It talks about community services and amenities and even how the community is marketed and how we share information. You know, for example, we'll probably get feedback on how important people find the segments like City Current to be on Dakota Media Access. And so we're should have that survey online by tomorrow morning.
Very good question. We'll just leave that one alone.
Yeah. So people can look to cityofmandan.com for the link to the survey, and it'll be open through the month of November.
Okay, and when do you launch?
Should have it by up by tomorrow morning, maybe this afternoon if all goes well. So
okay,
just waiting
great.
For a little bit of feedback from, we have a number of people in public entities and community organizations that provide input on questions on the survey and also take advice from our Mandan Tomorrow Leadership Pride and Image Committee that stems back from that strategic plan we did a few years back that are part of implementing a community outreach program.
Well, it's really important that people get involved in this. The results of this survey will fuel projects in the future. So we want to really encourage people to get involved in that and take the survey. It's specific to particular individuals, like if you're a retailer in the community or a property owner, that type of thing. You have different surveys.
There are some different questions that you will be asked dependent upon if you live in Mandan or elsewhere, and then whether or not you own a business in the community.
Okay, great.
And so it will take you to questions pertinent to that perspective.
Nice. Well, we'll look forward to that too, Ellen. You've been busy.
Thank you.
As always.
Yes.
All right. And we've got to wrap up. I've been getting the signal for a while that we're there already. Yes, we're out of time. So, Ellen, again, thank you for coming today.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We'll be watching your work, that's for sure, and some of these big projects. So, and Jim, as always, we'll see you in a couple weeks again.
We'll be back on November 20th, I believe.
Sounds good. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.